What it is, Brad Lee back again with another episode of Dropping Bombs. Today in the studio, folks, as always, got a real treat for you. Trent Shelton in the house.
What up, Brad? How you doing?
What's
man?
Up, man? Guys, if you guys don't know this dude, you can follow him at Trent Shelton. You guys probably know who he is. He has more followers than I do. How many are you up to?
Total? About 15 million.
Dang. See, I'm just a junior. But yeah, this guy's well known. Former NFL football player, performance coach, motivational speaker, you know, on stages everywhere, author, wrote The Greatest You.
Yeah.
And your latest book, right now you're promoting is Protect Your Peace.
Yes, sir.
What's that about?
Really, it's just about that holistically. I think peace is the number one currency in the world.
Oh, boy.
And I believe you said something, man. I was watching something about, and I'm probably paraphrasing it, about would you rather have maybe $1 million?
Yeah.
You know, and so I just say, would you rather have that or peace? And people would choose peace all day long. And so it's a three trilogy part as far as a triad from protecting your energy, protecting your mind, and protecting your soul. And there's nine principles in between those.
Well, dude, I want to dig into that only because, man, I'm going through some crap right now.
Yeah.
And so do 1 million people.
Absolutely.
But, you know, peace, very important. Not only that, stress, silent killer, dude.
Yeah.
You can literally damage your health and not even know it because of stress, the opposite of peace.
Yep.
But anyway, so guys, if you guys haven't followed him before, go follow him at Trent Shelton. You can find his website, TrentShelton.com. He's also got a podcast called Straight Up.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure you can find that on Spotify, SoundCloud,
yep,
iTunes, all the places. So go check out his podcast. You got millions of followers, reaches millions of people every single week with his inspirational videos and messages. And of course your first book, Greatest You, that became obviously a bestseller, I would imagine.
Yes, sir.
And, the Straight Up podcast.
Yes, sir.
You have guests. What's the format?
Sometimes I do. It's basically me. It's me, just in raw and real moments. And so sometimes, man, I'm recording it out when I'm hiking. Sometimes I'm in my studio. Sometimes I have guests, but it's just a podcast that if you need some raw inspiration and some truth, even me sharing my struggles that you can relate to, that podcast, I think it speak to you.
So, dude, how did you get started?
Man, I want to say by accident, but the calling found me. I played football. Obviously, my career was like most, 3 years in and out NFL. Hit a rock bottom and, you know, I started working on myself. Like, I never wanted to do this, never wanted to be a speaker, author. I wasn't even reading books at that time. And a situation where one of my best friends committed suicide, my teammate, my college roommate, and that woke me up to realizing a few things. Like, man, I didn't even know he was dealing with this. And then two, I know I'm dealing with a lot. So let me start healing myself and helping myself, mind, body, and soul. And so I just started sharing my journey online, and that was starting in 2009, and here we are today.
Well, I know you're popular. Every time you go to speak, man, everybody's like, Trent Shelton's here.
Really?
I spoke in a couple places with you, but you came and gone by the time I showed up.
Yeah.
I was like a freaking, you know, side note.
Nah, man. You're amazing, bro.
Well, you know, to me, the purpose of this podcast, protecting your peace.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going through some nonsense.
For sure.
So what are some like ways to do that?
Yeah. So I like to define peace as this. Like, peace doesn't mean that everything's perfect, right? It doesn't mean that there won't be chaos around you. It's about not letting the chaos around you kill the calm inside you. And best way I can say it is, like, peace says the storm does exist. We're not oblivious to that, but we know the storm will pass. And I think it's almost impossible to experience peace when you're allowing the things that you can't control to control you, all these external things. And so the first principle in the book is set boundaries. And setting boundaries for most people are hard because most people look at boundaries as some bad thing. Like, I got to set boundaries, and they don't because of worry and guilt. They worry about what people are going to say, or they feel guilty for, you know, saying no. And I've realized in my life, and I'll just say this, like, if saying no changes the relationship, then that relationship probably isn't real in the first place. And so I've learned to view boundaries not as walls, but as bridges. They're not walls to keep things out. There are bridges to let the right things in. So if you say, I need peace in my life, then what's the boundary you need to set so you can experience that? I need to make my relationship better. What's the boundary you need to set to experience that? I need to make my business better. What's the boundary you need to set to experience that. And it only becomes a wall when people keep disrespecting your boundaries. And so that's the first principle of the book. And that leads to protecting your energy, because a lot of us think that, and I've been guilty of this, where we think we have an infinite amount of energy. You know, some of us, we protect our cell phone battery more than we do like our soul. And so where are you giving your energy to? Is it multiplying it back? Is it generating it? Or are you wasting it? And so those principles in that section are really going to help you, you know, use your energy wisely to the things that fill your soul, to the things that give you peace in your life.
Mm. So again, I mean, you had to learn that somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Just how?
Yeah. So burning out, trying to be everything to everybody and nobody to myself, saying yes to everybody, feeling an obligation to say yes. And I realized, like, as a good hearted person, like, I want to help everybody out. But if helping you out comes at the cost of losing myself, is that really help? Especially when I got kids, I got people that need me to be the best me. So I had to learn how to say no. And it was tough, because you probably can relate to this. It's like people will judge you by your no when you gave them a million yeses. When I've been there over 100%. And over again. And it's like when you say no, I'm the bad person, everything changes. So I realized that, and this sounds kind of cold hearted, but I realized that I needed to stop trying to be loyal to people and loyal to my principles. Because when you're loyal to people, you're loyal to sometimes the wrong things. You're loyal to them taking advantage of you. And I say, you know, what are my principles telling me to do? My principles that, you know, peace is my priority. Okay, peace is my priority. Why do I need to say no? And I realized in my journey that the more I said yes when I wanted to say no, I started a war within myself. And I feel like so many entrepreneurs and individuals are carrying this war within themselves while the external world is living in peace. So I say, man, I can't do that no more. And I started to speak my mind and say what's on my heart. And some people didn't like it, but I realized that the real ones in my life that knew what I needed and respected my principles, they're the ones that truly matter.
Yeah, I'm going through, like, right now, it seems like the ones you help the most, the ones that you like bend over backwards
for sure,
are usually the ones that disrupt that piece.
Yeah.
And it's usually when you eventually say, no, Ned, dude, I can't. Well, now all of a sudden you're the bad guy.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And it's always the ones that you're trying to help the most.
Yeah.
I got people that, you know, I used to employ, and you know, you bend over backwards. First of all, you knew you probably shouldn't have employed them in the first place.
Right.
But hey, they're down and out. You want to give them a little job. You want to help them out. Maybe they can get on their feet. You give them the job against your will. Like, I should have said no.
Yeah.
But I didn't get your book yet.
Yeah.
So setting boundaries. Give me an example. Because again, as you're talking, dude, I'm learning.
For sure. So I'll give you a perfect example. And I'll say this, I had to learn how to no longer be the ceiling for people. And what I mean by that, when you want to help people so much and they don't want to help themselves and they start to depend on you, you become their ceiling. Even with your kids, like, you become the ceiling if you don't allow them to grow, fail, mess up. And I realized that I was a lot of people's ceilings because I didn't want to see them fail, or, you know, I didn't want them to be, to go through situations where it was hard for them, because I wanted to save them. And so I realized that I'm not God. That's not my job to save you. That's not my job to help somebody out of troubled water when they're choosing to stay there. And so one boundary that I set, and I'll just say this, was with my kid, with my 15-year-old when he was 10. We used to have you have kids?
Yeah, seven.
So is a boy or girl?
I have seven.
Oh, you have seven kids. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. You know this for sure. So we called it Daddy Shop. And Daddy Shop was me getting them ready for school. You know, me combing his hair, me cooking them breakfast, all these things. And I love doing that. So this was a very hard boundary for me to set. But it had to get to a point when he was about 10. And I said, man, I can't keep doing this for you no more. Like, you got to figure this out by yourself. So I set that boundary. Say, hey, Tristan, take care of your business, your own self. I said, I'm about to go out here and protect my peace. Daddy needs time to himself in the morning. You figure it out. The first few times were a disaster. Clothes were terrible. He cooked himself food, almost burned down the house. But as you fast forward now, you know, he's probably the best pancake cooker in the world, right? He knows how to take care of himself. It's because I gave him the permission. I like to say the gift of responsibility. And I feel so many times we don't give people that gift. It's a gift. here, be responsible for this. So that's a boundary I set that I didn't want to set. But in setting that boundary, it helped me not be the ceiling in his life.
Yeah. Plus you taught him how to be resourceful.
For sure. Absolutely.
Like my dad, you know, people always feel sorry for me because I grew up with a dad that kind of just like, I mean, he made sure we didn't die. He made sure we had clothes and food.
Right.
But that's about it. No parenting, no counseling, no guidance. But when I look back, I think, dude, that's why I'm so damn resourceful.
That's right.
Like I can figure things out. And it's went a long way in my life where growing up, I probably blamed him. Like, you never gave me nothing. Well, looking back, dude, that actually was the right thing to do in some cases.
It was a gift to you.
It was a gift. Now, that's a family example.
Yeah.
What would be like a business example?
Yeah. So this is a big one and people don't understand it, but I have a boundary set where I'm usually, especially if I'm at home during the week, I'm not available to the outside world to after 12 p.m. You know, my phone is on do not disturb, and some people don't get it. Some people are like, man, like, why can't I get in contact with you? Even my team, they know that that's my time. And unless it's a 911, they know not to disturb me. And to some people, it's like, you're wasting time. You're losing your morning. But I'm preparing myself to go out into the world and giving myself what I need. So that's a hard boundary with the world that I set that a lot of people don't understand.
Don't you get FOMO?
Missing out?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I get FOMO.
Yeah, I don't.
I feel like, man, if I turn my phone off, dude, and that one call comes in.
Well, I got to do not disturb. I'll look at it and see, but I don't, because I ask myself, is it that important? And maybe it is. I'm sure there's times where I miss important opportunities, but is it that important to sacrifice my peace and my time? And 9 times out of 10, it's not. And if it's that important, then I probably can call them back after 12 and it should still be there.
So how do you think all of this is working now? Are you as peaceful as they get?
I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm working on it.
You got any frustrations?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I deal with a lot. Again, trying to be everything to everybody, trying to be everything to the world, trying to balance and manage so much. You know, even just my past, you know, and the trauma and the things that I've been through. Like 2021 was a very hard year for me. You know, I lost my mother, almost lost my daughter 2 days later. Mm. I lost my grandmother 2 weeks after that. And 2022, I ruptured my Achilles, my first injury ever in my life. I had to do 2 surgeries, almost had to get my foot cut off. And so it was back to back to back to back. And so in that moment, I realized that I didn't have my peace under control because I was losing myself. I hit a wall, I hit depression, and I'm having to be this person to the world, but yet my world is crumbling inside. So ironically, it was in the middle of me writing this book. So it was like this book was actually teaching me as I was teaching other people.
Do you think, had you applied all of these principles, that those things wouldn't have happened?
As far as what, like
all the things that happened? Because I mean, bad shit's gonna happen.
Nah, it would have happened. I mean, you know,
but how do you deal with it, I think, is the key.
Yeah.
Because right now, dude, you know, I run multiple businesses.
Yeah.
A lot of people think I'm I sell courses and I'm a guru, and you know, I'm not. You're sitting in one of my businesses. I have multiple businesses, and you know, it seems like when something goes wrong, a million things go wrong, and everybody still needs you. Everyone still looks at you as the leader. And if you don't, you know, protect your peace is a good way of saying it. You know, you become useless to them, which is literally screwing them harder than saying no or setting the boundary. You know what I mean? But the bad things still come. It's how do you handle them?
Yeah.
How do you react?
For sure. I have a principle in this book. It's in Protect Your Mind section, and it's called Shift Your Perspective. And I always teach that your perspective can either be your power or your prison. And a prison perspective.
Better say that again. People don't get that, dude.
Yeah.
That million-dollar thing you're talking about, it kind of went viral, and now it's in like multiple languages, and I see people in different countries saying that what I said on that podcast. And I was just trying to give an analogy that made sense, and what I said was, you know, how would you feel if I just gave you $1 million? And everybody's like, oh man, that'd be amazing. You know, would you be worried about this? Would you be worried about that? You wouldn't be worried about rent. You wouldn't be worried about all the things you're worried about. And I said, but if I gave you the million, but you couldn't wake up tomorrow, would you take it? And they're like, well, no. Well, why? Well, because dude, life's more valuable than $1 million.
That's right.
That's the perspective shift. And once you shift your perspective, which is what I did with that, now problems and challenges seem to be, you know, opportunities and growth opportunities. And it's that's what I keep trying to tell people, man. It's literally, you just shift your perspective to one of another. It's the same problem, but your perspective determines whether it's an opportunity and a blessing or a freaking curse and a problem.
Absolutely. I think if everybody goes back in their life, their biggest growth moments came from their biggest pain moments. And oftentimes, and it sucks when you're going through it. I mean, it's cool to hear those words when you're going through it. You're like, man, but if you look back in your life, the times that you grew the most, and this is the thing, everybody wants to grow, but nobody wants to go through growing pains. It's a part of the process. The process sucks. The process isn't sunshine and rainbows, but the process is necessary to build you and strengthen you. So I always tell people, you know, watch what you're praying for. When I tore my Achilles, my prayer a few months before that was, God, I need rest. I'm moving around too much. And I'm not saying that he made that happen, but he allowed that to happen.
Well, maybe he knew that needed to happen.
Exactly.
He wouldn't have done it otherwise.
To sit me down. And by me sitting down for this, I'm just now starting to get back to actually like going full speed, being able to run. And that's hard for me. I went through what I call injury depression because I'm like, I move every single day. I run every morning. What am I going to do now? So it taught me to find deeper ways to protect my peace, like meditate and reflective therapy. But back to the perspective, it can be your power or your prison. And for most people, and you probably heard this, it's always easier said than done. That's a prison perspective. You're trying to find a way out. You're trying to justify why things aren't working. But the power perspective says, you know, yeah, this sucks. This is hard, but I'm going to find a way to make it happen. And I like to tell people when it comes to the perspective shift, what I do is I put the power in my hands. As long as you're blaming everything and everybody, you're giving that person, that situation, the power to control your life. The facts. Power. Yeah, you're keeping it in hand. I coach football team and my 7-on-7 team, and we literally we lost, and everybody's blaming the referees. I'm like, yeah, the referees suck, but it shouldn't have came down to that. And how are you going to get better if you're telling yourself the reason we lost was because of the referees? No, the reason we lost because maybe we didn't prepare well enough. Maybe I didn't coach well enough. Maybe you didn't play well enough. And even if that's not the truth, that truth still serves you to get better. And so what I love to say when I'm going through things is I used to say, what does this mean? And for my limited, sad story self back in the day, it used to mean that, for example, my NFL career was over. It meant my life was over. That's exactly what I told myself. My life is over. There's no more to my life. What am I going to do now? I never worked a 9-to-5. I don't know even how to apply for a job. I don't know what's going to happen. And that didn't serve my soul. And so what I learned how to do, and it's a simple shift in words, man, is I don't say no more, what does this mean? I tell myself, what is this going to mean? And what that does is it gives me the power to determine the meaning on the situation. So at some point in my NFL journey, and I lost it, I said, this is going to mean that, yeah, this is over, but a new beginning is coming. And some people call it toxic positivity, whatever. I tell people, what's the alternative? To sit in something that's not going to serve your soul? I would rather think about, how can I develop a meaning that's going to serve me when my mom died? Like, people always ask, well, how did you have a power perspective towards that? At first, I didn't. And it was tearing my life apart until I realized, like, wait a minute. My mom fought too hard to see her baby boy quit. She ran her race of life too efficiently and effectively for me to get the baton and me to not run my race of life. So I say, you know what? I didn't lose my mom. This is going to mean I gained an angel that's with me forever. And that served my soul, and it serves my progression moving forward. So that's how I live in my power as much as I can.
That's perspective.
Absolutely.
So what's the next one?
Yeah, so I skipped around, but if you go back to protect your energy, the next one is disconnect often. So you got set boundaries. The second is disconnect often. And disconnect often looks different from everybody, but I always say, you know, put a D&D on your soul. We put a D&D on our phone, do not disturb. But sometimes we need to put a D&D on our soul. And I tell people, like, where is your, I call them trigger environments. Like, where's the place that you can go to and immediately feel peace? For me, it's nature.
What if they don't have one?
They got to create one. You got to find one. And you got to search for it. Like, nature for me, I'm going to be real, as a black guy, you don't see, well, it's changed, but that wasn't a thing to go out in nature, you know what I mean, to hike. But I got introduced to it. And I said, wait a minute. Like, I feel a peace out here that I haven't felt before. And I love nature. I feel like it's God's natural medicine for the soul. And so I've learned how to disconnect daily from my phone, from social media, from my business, even from my family sometimes, to give myself what I need so I can hear my thoughts. I feel like a lot of people, we don't know ourselves because we have so much noise. We're always going, going, going. And some people don't want to disconnect because they don't want to face themselves. It's scary sometimes.
Have you been to Sedona?
I have. I just came back. I was there for Christmas.
I heard that's magical. Oh,
incredible. Incredible.
Are you a hiker?
Oh, yeah.
There's a birthing cave or some.
Yeah, they call it a vortex. It's like some energy field. But we go out there at least twice a year. Sedona is magical.
Yeah, I've never gotten into hiking, but I need to find a place for peace.
Yeah, even just sit out there.
Well, it just might be at home on the couch with my little girls running around.
That's what I'm saying. So everybody's is different. Peace is that for me too. So what's that trigger environment that triggers peace in your life? You got to create it, whatever that is. It don't have to be hiking. It doesn't have to be something crazy. It could be literally that, you know, sitting at home, watching cartoons or being present with my kids. That brings me peace in my life.
What's the outcome? So if someone gets your book and masters it and puts it in there, what type of results or outcome can they expect?
They're going to develop their own prescription for their peace. And they're going to figure out that peace is the most important thing in the world. And it's going to look different for everybody. I share mine, but I'm not telling you this is the exact steps to create your peace. I want you to develop your prescription. And they're going to develop some tools to protect their energy from the things that drain it, protect their mind from the things that disturb it, and protect their soul from the things that don't fulfill it. And that's a big thing, is living in fulfillment in this book. And I think that's the thing people are going to take away from it, is what truly matters to them, and live their life with that as their main priority.
Is this book out now?
March 5th.
March 5th.
Yes,
so they can pre-order it now.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And we want to pre-order it just because, like, it helps the charts and helps the reach.
For sure.
Where do they go pre-order?
You can go to Amazon, but TrentShelton.com is probably the best bet.
TrentShelton.com.
Yes, sir.
Protect your peace. Just wanted to mention that in case I forget. Sometimes I get wrapped up in conversation, then I end it, and I'm like, wait a minute. But, you know, dude, so you're out there on stages, you got a bunch of followers, like, you know, what started that whole, like, when did people start following you? When you just started being authentic, when you just started posting your thoughts, how did that work? Because there's a lot of people right now wondering how to build a brand.
Yeah, so I'm going to use the magic word that they prior taught of hearing, but it's true: consistency. You know, consistency makes you a go-to person. And a lot of people say, oh, I can't be consistent. Always make people like, look at themselves and realize that's the biggest lie you're telling yourself. Because I tell people, you're consistent at a lot of stuff. You're consistent at the wrong stuff, I'm sure. You're consistent at getting up every single day, brushing your teeth. You don't have a consistency problem. This is something I realized, because I used to use that excuse. Oh, I'm not consistent. Then I looked at my life. I'm like, man, I'm consistent at destroying my life. I'm consistent at putting myself in toxic situations. I'm very consistent. And so the question I asked myself was that, like, if I can be consistent at the wrong things, then why can I be consistent at the thing that I say that I love? And so I say it's always two reasons. Number one is it really don't mean that much to you, because some people want to do it because they see the external that surrounds the lives that they're following. They see the inspiration. They see the money. They see the stages. They see the blue checks. Oh, I want to do that now. So I call it an influence calling and not a true calling. And then the second thing is, they don't realize how much it's cost them not to show up. If you look at anything you're consistent with, you understand the opportunity cost. Simple. You understand, if I don't show up to this job, I'm not going to get paid. I don't get paid. I'm not going to be able to provide for my family. School. Most of us hated school, but we went to school for 14 years. I had to go to school because I knew if I didn't show up and get good grades, my college career, NFL career was not going to happen. I understood the opportunity cost. Most people with their dreams, because they never experienced it, they don't understand the opportunity cost. So they got to put a price tag on it. Even if they got to make it up. What is it costing you every single day not to show up? Maybe you say it's costing me $1 million, $10,000, whatever it is. But it has to cost you something for you to be more consistent at it. So for me, I realized that it was costing at that time. It was costing people. And there's a lot of pressure on myself, but I knew people were following me because they struggle with self-worth. I made videos about suicide. So I would tell myself, man, if I don't stay consistent, there's lives out there that might even take their life because, and it's a lot of pressure. I took that pressure off of me. But at that time, there's lives out there that might take their life because I'm not consistent in giving my message. And so every single day on Facebook, I went live at the time. I made videos. 10, 15 people watched it. I did my own events, Brad. 5 people, 10 people would show up. I did one in Vegas. It was called Live Conversations. I ran around the country. Live conversations. I found public libraries anywhere for free. And it trips me out when people say, I don't have a stage. Create your stage. Literally. And most people don't want to look small and start small. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. I wasn't worried about that because I knew if I can get 10 people, then I can get 20. I can get 200. And that's what happened. Every time I came back to that city, that audience grew and grew and grew. And so I went around the country doing these live conversations where we would just sit down like this and talk about life. They would leave, they would share it with their friends, and my numbers grew. And then when it really took off was my spoken word friends. And I do spoken word. And that was the video that went viral. And that kind of created the momentum that
what's
people see.
The word.
So it's like a, it's not really a rap, but it's poetry. So I do it on stage all the time. People love it. Usually in my speeches with it.
That you wrote?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Is it like, what is it? Like, give me an example.
Yeah. So friends is this. If all you had to offer was friendship, who would still be around? You see, real situations expose fake people. So sometimes it takes getting down on life to find out who's really down. You see, people pretend well when their souls are for sale. Sometimes it's the ones you love the most that mostly want to see you fail. That's real. Just because they're riding with you doesn't mean they're riding for you. That's facts. Mm. So it's like that.
Yeah, dude. Those are good. Yeah. Where do you subscribe to those?
YouTube, man. Instagram, Facebook.
It's almost like, you know, therapy.
It is. Yeah.
Because as you're saying that, I'm like, Dude, why is it like eventually, how old are you?
I'm 39.
Yeah. See, like, dude, when you're 49, dude, you're going to know even more. And when you're 59, you're going to know even more. And it seems like the way life works, you know, it's like you got to just freaking take forever to learn some of these things. But when you got a guy like you that's already kind of a philosopher, I would say, especially with all the circle of influence you have, I mean, you more than me even, but I mean, I feel blessed because like I can tap into circles that most people can't.
For sure.
And those people, some are old, some are young, but they're all kind of thought leaders.
Yeah.
And they give you some serious perspective.
Yeah, they do.
And it makes you rethink situations. You know, like even just in the last 30 minutes we've been talking, like, you know, I'm already starting to feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because dude, like, man, I'm telling you, I do nothing. I tell everybody, you know, and I ain't talking about regular old haters that don't know me.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, I believe in my heart that I'm one of the best dudes walking earth.
Yes, sir.
I do nothing but try to help people. I don't hurt anybody. I don't want your money if I don't think I can give you value. I don't scam. I don't steal. I don't do any of it. Like I am literally, I say the closest thing to an angel.
Yeah.
Walking.
Yes, sir.
It took a lot of work and I haven't always been like that. Right. So then when people say, well, people can't change. People can change and they do change. Some don't, unfortunately, but some do. But yet what are we taught? Leopard, don't change your spots. Once a cheater, always a cheater. You know, how you do one thing is how you do everything. I always hear that a lot, even by big influencers. Right. And I always think to my, have you ever heard that or said that?
Yeah, I think from sports.
But I don't agree with that.
You're right.
Because like I play basketball like shit, but I don't do business that way.
That's true.
So at the end of the day, I think I know what they mean, but I take things literally. But where was I going with that? At the end of the day, man, I'm one of the nicest dudes I believe out there. I don't want anything but the best for people. I'll bend over backwards for people. I'll give you the shirt off my back. But yet there's when you give someone your shirt, dude, now, well, what about your shoes? And it's like, well, no, I need those. Oh, well, dude, you're a scumbag and you're a piece of junk. And not only that, but now let me figure out how to try and harm you.
Yeah.
And when you start getting all those knives coming your way, like if eventually you're almost like, dude, I want to just start freaking punching and firing back.
Yeah.
But then I have a saying, and again, I got my own, they're not as long or as good as yours, but I have my own sayings. And one of them is don't change the way you treat people. Mm. Just change the people you treat.
That's good, man. That's good.
See what I'm saying?
That's good.
So again, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking, okay, it ain't that bad, but dude, I'm getting bombarded from left and right from friends and family and business partners. And it seems like it's always at once.
Yeah.
And dude, I get to a point, like one time I had a guy, do something that literally caused me to almost like shake and get cold. It was anxiety. It caused a hair patch to fall out of my damn head. And I went to the doctor, like there was a bald spot right there from this being so, you know, worked up, anxious, nervous, stressed.
Yeah.
And long story how it grew back, which is essential oils for my wife. But anyway,
essential oils, that's the trick.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, like essential oils, she has some mixture. She put it on there and I'm like, babe, it's not going to work. Doctor said it's not coming back. And sure enough, dude, it grew back. But that's how I know about stress. And recently, again, boom, boom, boom. All of a sudden I start feeling that stress. Well, dude, I'm at the age, I'm 55 now.
Yeah.
So like, dude, eventually, dude, that could cause a big problem.
Yeah.
And I need to be able to learn how to freaking block that out. So is there any way, I mean, to block that out?
Yeah, I don't know. So I do say this in the book. Stress is the silent serial killer that will murder your peace. I say that, and it's so true. And stress, we have known stress like that. Then we have that silent stress that we don't realize that we're stressed out because we're going so much. You know, I always teach that there's two things that are in your control. What you give to the world, nobody can stop that. And what you accept, nobody can give you something that you don't want. Unless they put a gun to your head, then it's still the choice if you want it or not. And that's really helped me because, similar to you, I've had a lot of situations over the years, even me helping people, right? And then first time I don't respond to a DM, oh, I knew you weren't like that. I knew you were fake. And I realized this truth that some people are only loyal to your benefits. And that's it. Once the benefits leave, that's when the loyalty stops. So I've understood, like, okay, these people only love me for what I can give. So it's not about me. So I stopped taking it personal. It's about what surrounds my life. Oh, they're loyal to the benefits. Okay, cool. And it doesn't make it easier to hear certain things. It doesn't make it easy to get treated wrong because you're right, bro. Like there's times where I've done stuff for people, got money taken away, stolen, crazy stuff. And a part of me wants to go handle that. You know what I mean? But then I sit back and say, man, they're controlling me. And I don't like to be controlled. And if somebody can, I don't know what philosopher this is. You might know, but I think it's one of the great philosophers, but he said, he who angers you controls you. And that always stuck with me. And I said, I refuse to allow anybody. And sometimes it slips up. Wifey sometimes will get that out of me, but it's going to be somebody I truly love and care about that's going to maybe shift my energy. It will not be somebody that I know for a fact won't even be at my funeral, won't even be there for my kids, not even praying for me. I refuse to allow that. But I refuse to allow people to trick me out of my position. And that's what happens. You see it in sports. You see somebody do something to somebody, somebody reacts, and they get the flag. And so I've learned to give myself time to think and ask myself, can I change this? And can I control this? And if my answer is no, I've learned to let it go.
What if it is yes, you can?
I have the conversation and I make the decision. I make the choice. So if it is cutting somebody off, I never feel guilty for cutting somebody off when they handed me the scissors. I'm never going to cut somebody off for silly reasons, immature reasons. If I cut you out of my life, it's because you handed me the scissors multiple times and it's time for me to make that decision. And again, you know, I have a loyalty to my family first and foremost. I have a loyalty to my audience. If I'm not right in my personal life, how can my professional life be any way effective? How can I be the best I can be for this world and for my mission if I'm allowing these things in my life to control me? So I've learned how to let go even when it's hard to. Because as a man, I think we've been taught our whole life that strength is what you can hold on to. When somebody says, I can handle a lot, I'm like, that's not a badge of honor. Like, I want you to be able to let go of a lot. I want you to be able to release. I want you to be able to say, you know what? I can let this down. I can let this out of my life. I can let go. Because the more we try to control, the less we will experience peace. You have to let go and say, you know what? I'm going to give this to the world. If it's God for you, I'm going to give this to God. I'm going to give this to the universe. And I'm going to trust that my future will bring me the better that I deserve. And I live by that. That's that perspective shift that helps me.
You better. That's if you do it right, that's called faith.
That's right. Absolutely.
And faith alone, according to scripture,
that's right,
can move mountains. But a lot of people, they don't they will not believe to the degree of faith.
Nah.
You're faith-based, I take it.
Absolutely.
So you always, I mean, I don't know if you've heard me say that Jesus isn't his name. I'm sure you say Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what his name was?
What's his name?
Well, it's Yahshua.
Yeah. Yep.
Or formal Yahushua.
Okay.
No, Yahweh is God the Father.
Okay, gotcha.
People say God the Father, God the Son, they're the same one. Again, I have my doubts on that. And the reason why is because, you know, he's on the cross. He looks up. He says, why has thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
Well, who's he talking to? Himself?
That's true.
You know, who raised Yahshua from the dead?
Yeah.
Himself?
Yeah.
So again, I don't know that they're one. I see that they're one, like, you know, me and my son, we agree we're as one.
Right.
But they're still, that's a different person technically, right. Even though we might be aligned perfectly. So I think obviously they're one, but they're
separate. Independent. Same. Yeah, for sure.
So that's again, but I'm still seeking. I don't know.
Yeah.
And anyone that says they know, I like to talk to about it. Why? Well, because what makes you so sure?
Yeah, so right. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I want that faith. Yeah. I want that certainty. So all I can do is seek, you know, yeah. and learn and listen and question and that's challenge.
Right. Yeah.
Because people always walk around talking about, you know, Jesus. And I'm like, you know, what? Like, that's like if you know, your name's Trent.
Yes, sir.
Is that your full name?
Trent Shelton. Yeah, that's my first name. Yep.
Okay, so let's say your name was Trenton.
Yeah.
Well, Trent, short for Trenton.
Yeah.
It's still Trent. That's good. But what if I just started calling you freaking Jackie?
Right.
And then and then you literally said, no, my name's Trent. And I just kept, okay, Jackie. Eventually, like, wouldn't you be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you not know my name? Now, if you knew somebody, you think you'd know their name?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's almost the first thing you get to know when you know somebody. So when I found out his name was, and I say is, Yahshua or Yeshua, why does everyone keep calling him Jesus? They're like, there's power in that name. I've seen demons cast out in that name. And I always think to myself, do you think the devil has any power or magic? We're in his domain, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So again, maybe, I don't know, but I do know that was his name, and that's factual, and you can look it up. So now that I know his name, I hate to say Jesus unless I'm trying to get people that believe in Jesus or love Jesus to understand who I'm talking about.
For sure.
Some of them, dude, they don't even know his name.
Yeah.
They think it's Jesus. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. But I figured you were faith-based because I can't remember what I was watching before, and you seemed faith-based.
Yeah.
You go to church and, you know, all that.
Yeah, I was raised in a church. My dad was a pastor. Still is a pastor. And yeah, I was raised in a church.
You should ask him about that.
I will. Actually, I will. I'm going to call him on the way home and ask him and talk to him. I wish my mom was still alive, but that would be definitely the person to ask.
Well, again, I mean, if you're faith-based, then you already know she's in a better place.
Absolutely. And that's what served me. Because sometimes it's hard to accept that, right?
You'd imagine a child.
Yeah.
Like you said, you almost lost your daughter.
Yeah.
Dude, that'd have been 10 times worse.
Yeah, 2 days after.
Yep. What happened?
So I was actually planning my mother's funeral. And my daughter, Maya, she was 4 years old at the time. And she was so crazy, bro. Because she was, so my mom's nickname for her grandmother name was Honey. So she was asking about Honey and, you know, Honey's an angel. And we're just talking. And she was like, hey, it's funny with kids. Can I go outside and play? Just randomly. I was like, yeah, go outside. And so she goes outside across the street. And within maybe 15 minutes, we get a knock at the door. And it's our next door neighbor's son. And he's so calm. He was like, hey, because I can hear him because my guest room is literally right by my door. Say, hey, Maya passed out. And I'm like, oh, okay. Marie was like, hey, Maya passed out. And I'm thinking like, oh, she's just playing around. Like she wants daddy to come save her and come pick her up. So I go over there. And as I'm walking out of my front door, like the back street, I can hear the ambulance, fire truck. And I hear the mother across the street screaming, saying, Trent, run, run, run. So I'm running. And it's hard to explain, bro, when people say like out of body experience. And I never really experienced that to that moment. It was like, I knew I was running fast, but it seemed forever. I get there. She's on the ground, unconscious, bleeding from her head. So what happened was my neighbor was kind of live in the country. So he was cutting his yard with a rod and lawnmower. He ran over a big rock. And she was running in the backyard. The rock spit out and hit her in the head. Mm. And I was like, how random is that she's running? The rock spits out, hits her in the head. When I get there, she's unconscious, going in and out. And when I talk about faith and why I believe, it's the relationship and the experience. And one experience I had with her is, you know, I was just talking, whatever was coming to my heart, my, you know, honey, got you, God got you. And when I said, honey, got you, she opened her eyes, looked at me, gave me a kiss on my cheek, and went back out. And in that moment, I knew everything was going to be okay. Went to the ambulance. She was in ICU for 5 days, had to have surgery. And while I'm in the ICU, that's when my dad calls me and it's like, hey, you know, his mom, Mother Shelton, it's my grandmother's name. She's in ICU. And so she dies, 2 weeks later. And the ironic thing with Maya, and I want to share this, and I really don't talk about it, is what we found out, and this is a perspective, and this is why, you know, I always say God will allow you to go through certain things just to bring you to the place where he needs you to be. And sometimes when you go through things, I don't say he puts us through things. Sometimes we put ourselves through it, but he allows it, you know, and is there to be a teacher. So we find out, because she had to do, you know, CAT scans and all that with her brain, they find a tumor, and I believe it's called like a glioma, but a small tumor. And the small tumor was there before she got hit with the rock. We would have never knew if she wouldn't have got hit with that rock and went to the ICU. Mm. And within a year, we go back to check it, and the tumor is gone. And so it's moments like that that I always tell people, like, that's why I believe so strong.
That's powerful. My daughter almost died drowning. This was not maybe 6 months or a year ago. I was on a flight to go do a keynote somewhere. I'm on a plane. My phone rings. It's FaceTime, my 8-year-old. Why is my phone ringing? I'm not connected to the internet. My phone's just, you know, there. I opened the phone and my daughter's just crying her eyes out. And all she said was, Chloe was in the pool. And then the call dropped and my heart sank. And like, I started like shaking, like imagining the worst. I try to call, no connection, no bars, nothing. And so like, I'm freaking out. We're probably 30 minutes from landing. So I'm just sitting there, don't know what to do. I don't know anybody else on the plane. I'm flying commercial.
Yeah.
And so now my wife's FaceTime comes through. So I answer the phone, like, what's up? And I've never seen her like this. Her face was white as a ghost and she was clearly bawling her eyes out. And all she said is, Chloe was in the pool, and then boom, the call drops. So I can't hear anything more than Chloe was in the pool, but they're crying like I've never seen them. I mean, I'm imagining the worst. So I finally land, I get on the phone, and my wife answers and she's bawling still. And I'm like, you know, what is going on? And I hear someone in the background, which I immediately assumed that's ambulance or that's, you know, paramedic. And my wife's answering questions, but I hear a baby crying. And so like, you know, that eased me a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I said, babe, she said, what? I said, what happened? And she said, well, Chloe fell in the pool. And I said, and she's crying like she died. And I said, isn't that her crying? And she said, yeah, but she was still scared. Cause you know, you can dry drown. You know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was still freaking out, but she found her. They came in from the pool. They were all swimming in the pool. Back door was freaking obviously left unlocked. They went to get in the shower to change. My wife went to just wash her hair. She was in the shower with Chloe. And Chloe, you know, little 2-year-old, walks out and goes out. And then something, my wife said she was sitting there washing her hair, soap heavy, and she felt like a thought that's like, where's Chloe? And she says to this day, she swears she heard.
Yeah.
Where's Chloe? And so she kind of opened, noticed she wasn't there, looked around, ran outside, and she was like almost at the bottom of the pool, blue, staring up at the sky, not moving. Picked her up, not moving. Flipped her over to, you know, over her arm to, you know, try to get her to cough or whatever. And she started coughing and came back to life. But the crazy part is, and I can show you the video, the next week, all she was saying when she was playing in the bathtub or walking around the house is Yeshua. And I've never, and I don't say that around the house. Like, I wouldn't say I'm faith-based. We don't go to church.
Right.
I'm not walking around talking about God right. and church and right. Jesus or nothing. But all she kept saying is Yahshua, Yahshua, Yahshua. And we're like, well, what is that? What is that? What is that? She says, friend. So it's like, dude, that's powerful stuff right there. But the biggest thing that makes me realize there's a creator is because if you don't think there is, then what is there? And yeah. people will say, well, there's nothing. You die, it's over. Like, there's nothing. Well, how do you create something from nothing?
Yeah, that's
it's impossible. There has to be something that created it or created it from, because you can't create something from nothing. So you know there's a creator. And then the rest of the stories, you know, you hear the Buddhist and you hear the Jewish and you hear the freaking, you know, Eastern philosophy. You hear all of these various religions. And again, do you think it might be possible that it all stemmed from the truth?
Yeah.
And then came down to men who broke it apart and corrupted it and leveraged it to get what they wanted, because we're men.
Right.
We're human. We sin. And now there's all of these confusing stories, but
from one,
there's one truth. And, yeah. and again, is there a creator? And I think absolutely there is. And now I'm going to just believe, because dude, my wife said when she picked her up, all she was praying was, God, please, please don't let anything happen. And dude, she was blue staring at the sky. Like, she was not, I mean, I feel bad for my wife, because she had to see it. It's got to be burned into her psyche. And then I had friends of mine that lost their son, like not even 6 months before, in a pool. And we were like, oh my God, we couldn't imagine. Like, that would be the worst. And then that happened. And thankfully she was spared.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest fears, man. We had put my daughter, even if she knows how to swim, we took the, like the, whatever you call it, the baby classes to teach them. But that's always one of my biggest fears. And what's wild, man, is that in my book, And Protect Your Soul, is a principle called internal alignment. And what you're talking about with your wife, I talk about listening to your soul and not second guessing that internal knowing. And when God is speaking to you in the church, we call it discernment, right? Some people call it intuition.
But well, that's the same thing. I got strong intuition. So if that's God talking to me, bro, he talks to me a lot.
Exactly.
And I very rarely listen is my problem.
We discredit it because a lot of times it doesn't align externally. And like a lot of us, we determine the truth by external things. Like, oh, this has to be the right opportunity because it has to align externally. And for me, I made decisions externally. And a lot of times it was the wrong choice. But when I feel something in my heart to do it, whether there's no benefit externally or whatever, I always feel like there's always a benefit. And I can, me and my team laugh about this because it's like, it always opens up a door. Like, I'll go do something for free, or I'll go just go serve, and I'm not even expecting them in return, but it opens some type of door. And so I've learned to listen to my soul, but you have to be able to quiet the noise. You have to be able to spend time with yourself in solitude and understand and discern, like, that inner voice, that voice, God speaking to you. And that's what your wife did. And that's happened so many times, where I talk about a story in a book in high school where, like, there was an inner voice, I believe God speaking to me, and saying, leave this party, like leave. And I didn't want to leave. It was fun. Left the party. A few hours later, two kids got killed. And so it's those moments like that, that some people think I'm crazy, but I will cancel something, or I'll just like not go because of that. And who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. But I'm not willing to find out. I'm willing to listen to my soul and trust that.
Well, dude, that in and of itself is a skill. Maybe that should be your next book.
Yeah.
How do you listen to your soul?
Yeah.
If people are listening right now and they go get this book, obviously they can dig in. But what are the three things that you think anybody, especially entrepreneurs, which is a lot of people that listen to this, what do you think an entrepreneur should do to start protecting their peace other than what you just said? Like, what are some simple hacks where, man, just do this, do this, do this?
Be loyal to their pace. And this is something I've been talking about recently. When you're not loyal to your pace, there's no way you can experience peace. And so I asked the question, especially with entrepreneurs, like, what's controlling your pace? A pace setter, you know, and track somebody who sets the pace. And when you run, when you get out of pace, what happens? You usually burn out,
right?
You get tired. And what I see so often, and I've been guilty of this, is that we allow the wrong things to control our pace. Scarcity, right? That's controlling our pace. Comparison, that's finances, that's controlling our pace. And it's okay to get out of pace sometimes, but if you stay out of pace, you're going to burn out. You're going to hit a brick wall. You're going to start smiling for the cameras, I say, and dying behind the scenes. And so I have got to a point where I'm loyal to my pace. And sometimes my pace looks like a turtle to some people. It's like, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you out here more?
Don't even take calls till noon.
Yeah, exactly. But sometimes my pace to other people, it looks like a freaking cheetah to some people. Like, man, bro, you are doing everything. You're traveling everywhere. And so I realized that I have to be loyal to what I know works for me to run an efficient race in life and to be consistent. That's why I tell people for 15 years, how I've been consistent is like, I really have been loyal to my pace. And I really have, there's times where I maybe got out of pace a little bit and I paid for it. 2016 was one of them. Got out of pace and really taught me a lot about protecting your peace, burning out, doing tours and everything like that. So for entrepreneurs listening, it's like, if you're feeling burnt out, what's controlling how you move? Right? Are you getting out of balance? Are you getting out your pace? Are you trying to prove points to everybody? Do you feel scarcity where it's like, I don't have time. I have to get this done. Now, I get it, right? I'm not telling you to be procrastination, but procrastination and patience is a different thing. Procrastination is waiting and not working. Patience is working while I'm waiting. I'm trusting the process. And so I would challenge you to let your pace setter be peace. Let your pace setter be trust. And knowing that I'm doing the right things, I'm showing up, I'm putting in the work, and at the right time, that finish line that I need will show up and will come.
What about people that think, but I can do more and I need to, otherwise people are going to get let down, other people. Again, that goes back to like, you know, you're basically exposing your piece now. Because I'm in there right now. I got a million things going on. A million. Like I am telling you right now, dude, I think maybe, you know, Yahshua said, hey, let's get Trent in there right now.
Yeah.
Because like, why all of a sudden?
So I would tell you this.
You were supposed to come a long time ago.
I was.
And that, why now? Why right now? Because right now, dude, your message is freaking is hitting. Like I need to go freaking say no a little bit more. I need to relax for a minute. And the last thing you just talked about, my pace, dude, I'm questioning my pace.
Yeah.
Because I need to do more when in reality, maybe I don't.
I'm about to ask, do you? Like,
theoretically, no, right. But I'm, you know, I don't want to let people down, you know, and quite frankly, it's just the world's expectations.
There you
know,
go.
A lot of people believe that I have a lot of potential and, you know, and I do, you know, I was blessed, I think, beyond measure. I'm a favorite if there's such a thing.
For sure.
And I'm not using them, you know, I'm not pushing myself. I'm so far, you know, protecting my pace pretty well.
Yeah.
Why? Cause I don't really let the pressure build, but for the last couple of months, dude, I've been saying, okay, you know, let's step this up. I got to get going. You know, I'm getting older. The window's getting smaller. You know, I'm missing opportunities. I should be doing all these things. Everyone said I should have been. And now I'm cranking up and sure as shit. Boom. Now that here come the problems, big problems. Situations, I should say. Well, in reality, because when I start saying problems, I trick myself into shift. It's opportunities. They're opportunities to grow. They're opportunities to prove myself, challenge myself, develop myself. So again, shifting your perspective, powerful. I do the same thing. But now I think I'm going to figure out how to just.
Can I ask you something?
Protect the pace.
Do you feel like your worth is tied to that?
Ultimately, no. Like, again, at the end of the day, no.
Right.
But do I? Probably.
Yeah.
Or am I starting to? Yeah, I'm forgetting that it's not.
Yeah. And that's the constant battle that we all face is like, where's your worth tied to? And I'll tell you this, Brad, like, and I get you because I used to be afraid of letting people down. Now I'm more afraid of letting myself down because if you let you down, they're going to get let down anyway. So you have to be able to take care of you so you can be the best you for them. And listen, they don't understand maybe the whole vision. I talk about that trust in your vision. It's like some people don't get it. Most people aren't going to get the vision that you have. You can share it. You can write it down. Most people aren't going to get the vision because it was given to you. And so you understand internally, like the pace I need to go in to, because you say, oh, like, I get that. You know, I feel like that sometimes too, but yeah, the window's closing, but maybe it's not. Because I had a friend that told me old is based upon your death day, not your birthday. Right? There's somebody that's 29 that has 1 year left. That's old. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes we put unnecessary pressure on ourselves. We put unnecessary pressure on ourselves to get things done at a certain time. And I understand that because I'm just like that too. But once I start saying, man, I'm more afraid of letting myself down, then it helped me disconnect my worth from people. Because we want to feel needed. We want to feel value. And most of the times, how do we feel like that? By doing things for other people. But when we disconnect our worth from those things, because I like to talk about how I ask this question, like, what's the puppet master in your life? Like, what's the puppet master to your worth? What's pulling the strings on your worth? Is it social media? Is it a number in the bank account? Is it how much I do for people? Oh, if I'm doing a lot and people love me, I feel good about myself. If I'm not doing much and people have a problem with me, I don't feel good about myself. That is an inconsistent life emotionally that doesn't serve you. And so I tie my worth to my creator. Like, God gave us worth at birth. It says he set us apart before he formed us. And so I stand on that. And it's hard to at times. I know it's easier to say, but I always go back to that. I'm worthy because of how I was created. I've already been validated. So I don't need to do things for you, or even though I will, but I don't get my validation from that. And so that's the question I would ask you, is like, are you more afraid to let yourself down? And I think when that shift turns, you know, you'll protect your peace a lot more.
Well, again, it's already working. Like, as I'm listening to you, and you know, I'm running it through my brain.
Yeah.
Cause like, I have killer logic. Like, when God passed out common sense,
you got it.
He gave it to me big time. And as I'm listening to you, man, I'm already feeling more at peace about everything.
Yeah.
But it also, you know, it also is a little bit challenging because, like, sometimes we do need to try a little harder, push a little more.
For sure.
And I think we can. But the question would be, well, how do you know when it's your, when you're screwing up your pace, or when you're just, you know, taking it to another level?
Yeah. So I think about it like running. I'm a runner. Well, I'm getting back into running. I was definitely running before I tore my Achilles. But there'll be days where I would challenge my pace. Like, say I'm running I want to do an 8 minute mile. There might be days where I say, okay, I'm going to go 7 minutes today. And I'll go 7 minutes for as long as I can. And then I'll slow down. And then, you know what? I might not revisit that for another week later. So yeah, there are times that you should be in a push season. There are times where you can work harder. There are times where you can do more, but that shouldn't be the constant state of your pace. And so you got to do trial and error. I've done it where I put too much on my plate and I realized, like, oh, am I ready for that? I've done it where I put too much on my plate and said, oh, okay, I'm in a place that I am ready for that. So you have to trust how you feel, trust your emotions. Are you getting burnt out? Are you getting agitated more? Are you more stressed? That's usually a sign that you're running out of pace that you're not ready to run at yet.
You think someone has that intuition inside them to where they can answer their own question if they just create a little peace, yeah, and silence and meditate or something?
I do believe that. I do believe silence. This is something that I really do. So I know a lot of people, the morning routines, the cold plunges, right? But like at night, it's something I really do. I sit in my backyard, and not every night, but most nights I sit in my backyard and I'm still. Like, being still is hard. Movement is hard, but being still, that's hard.
Especially in the mind.
Oh, yeah. So I learned how to just be still. And, you know, I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know if I'm meditating right. But I just know it brings calm to my soul. And it just helps me realize, like, everything's going to be okay. It helps me realize that I live by this. Things could be worse and it will get better. So when I'm going through hard times, I tell myself, it will get better. It can get better. It is getting better. Everything I'm going through will soon turn to everything I made it through. These are things that I always repeat, even when I can't believe it at times. But I keep telling myself until it becomes true.
Where do you live full time?
Dallas, Fort Worth.
So people might see you rolling around the streets in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where you live.
Yep.
So, folks, go get the book, Protect Your Peace, Trent Shelton. You can go to TrentShelton.com. Dude, I appreciate you coming in. Again, I mean, dude, I'm not for sure about anything, but like, again, I'm getting more for sure.
Yeah.
You know? And again, I think, you know, if there's a for sure, well then freaking he put you here today for a reason. I appreciate you myself. I know these guys do. What can the Bomb Squad do for you?
Man, make the world respect their greatness. Go live the life that they're meant to live. Mm. That's what I want them to do.
And go get his book.
I'll take that too.
Appreciate you coming in.
Appreciate you.
Till next time, folks. Keep it real. Go follow this cat.